So, we've been looking at, welcome again, everybody. We've been looking at a very interesting topic. We've been looking at love, dating, and marriage. Love, dating, and marriage. And we've looked at it from a number of interesting perspectives. And what I mentioned when we started, can I just reduce it just a bit? What I mentioned when we started this series about 3 weeks ago is, I don't want to just come and just pump us with things that we know already and say, talk nicely to your mate. Don't do this. If you do that, you're not going to get your dinner. No. I said, look, we'll go through the journey together. We'll look at what the Bible says. And at the end of the day, everybody will be left to make their own decision and come to their own conclusion. And we went through a number of really interesting bits. So we looked at dating, we looked at a number of other things. Today I'm going to focus on marriage. So I'm going to look at marriage today and go into slightly deeper perspective next time that we meet here. Now, a number of interesting things here. And again, today I'm just going to go through a number of points to just highlight some things about marriage that we might know already, but might not be too obvious. Now, I've seen a lot, I mean, I have loads of friends that are married. I speak to loads of married couples as a pastor, home and abroad. So I think I've seen a bit with regards to how people go through marriage and things that happen in people's marriages. Now, one thing I realized is this. There are times that I'm sitting down with people and the husband's there and the wife's there and they're like, she did this and he did that. And at the end of the day, what just occurs to me is that, look, although, you know, just keeping like a really straight face, I'd be like, what's the stress about? This is nothing. But I'll qualify that in a minute. So, what I'm just saying is that there are certain things that are obvious in marriage that if we follow and apply them, it will make our lives really easier and our marriages more enjoyable. So I'm just going to highlight a number of those points today. Then the next time we meet, we'll go slightly deeper into like the roles in marriage, which again causes some challenges sometimes. So the first thing I want to say this morning is this. God wants every single one that is married to have a good and fulfilling marriage. In Genesis chapter 1, God looked at Adam and he said, it's not good that a man should be alone. He brings Eve. And the whole objective of that was that they would have a wonderful marriage. They would keep each other company and things would be good. The Bible also says that two is better than one because they have a better reward for their labor. So marriage is meant to be enjoyable. It's meant to be fulfilling. It's meant to be exciting. But statistics tell us that it's not often the case. And I've seen a lot of people who are not really enjoying their marriages at all. They just come out, they put like a really nice smiley face outdoors, but indoors, they're not really enjoying it. Not to say that there are people who are not enjoying, I'm not saying that everybody's in that category. But God wants us to have, he wants our marriages to be places that we find comfort. Places that if outside of your home or outside of your, you know, you're at work, people stress you out, you can look back and say, oh, I'm going back to meet my mate and everything is going to be cool. But it's not like that all the time. So what I want to do today is I just want to highlight a number of points that would help us in our marriages so that we can have more enjoyable marriages and we can have the proper perspective of marriage. So I have a number of points. So the first point I want to make is this. Marriage does a lot of things. And God also mentions in Timothy that if someone is going to be a pastor or look after a church, he's someone who should be able to look after his home. And that's one of the qualifications. And you're not wondering, what's the correlation between the church, and we found, you know, being married and being able to look after the church. I'll highlight something here now. So the first thing is this. Marriage helps you to grow spiritually by exposing your flaws. So the first point is this. Marriage exposes your flaws. God uses marriage to expose your flaws to yourself. You know, when people annoy you or you're not really getting along with someone in the office, you can just change jobs. You can go home and say, look, oh, I don't have to deal with this person till tomorrow. Or if it's, you know, someone in church is like, man, I'm not going to church today. That person is going to be sitting next to me. So you can avoid them. But with marriage, no way. The person is there morning till night. And you're going to be faced with that. So the first thing marriage does is that it exposes your flaws so that God can address your flaws. It does. But the thing here is this. If as an individual, you do not take responsibility for your flaws, then I can almost say that you're not really going to, when I say you, not talking about, the individual is not really going to enjoy the full benefits of their marriage. What do I mean by that? Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. Eve gave Adam this, the apple, well, it's not an apple, the fruit. We're not quite sure what it was. And Adam ate it. And God came to Adam. He didn't go to Eve. And he said, Adam, have you eaten the fruit that I said you shouldn't eat? And how does Adam respond? Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. He says, the man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate it. So we see here that this gentleman was not taking responsibility. Yes, Eve did what she did. Maybe she even instigated the whole challenge here. But God was talking to him, and he made excuses. You might be like, oh man, this Adam guy was just... But we do the same thing. And it's like, that my husband annoys me. If he could just pick up after himself. I'm not his mom. He throws his things there and he just keeps annoying me. Do you get what I mean? Or the wife, the man says, man, that woman is just, oh, can't she just, you know, she's always making me annoyed. Hang on. How about if you looked at it the other way around and say, okay, why am I annoyed? Do I have something that I need to deal with myself? Do I have like an anger thing that I need to address? Why am I so impatient? Rather than saying that person is the one that is annoying me. Now, I'm not saying that people should annoy each other in marriage. We should be considerate and we'll look at that. But the first thing I'm saying here is this. Marriage does something. It exposes your flaws. And it's not exposing your flaws so that you can beat yourself up and say, oh, I'm just an angry guy or I just get impatient. No, it's so that you can go to God and say, God, man, I really get upset with this, with my wife. Why am I, can you just help me so that I can deal with the way I get upset? And that way God helps us. Do you understand? So that's the first thing that marriage does to us. I remember when I got married a while ago, generally speaking, I think I'm a cool guy. I don't get angry easily, generally speaking. But I was just saying that, let's say like on a scale of 9, that I've been like so annoyed that I was like, I've never been... On the scale of 9 times that has happened, I told my wife then that she's responsible for 8. 8 of the 9. I remember one guy at my workplace that I worked with a long time ago. And that one I just blew up and I was like, what do you mean by that? So that guy took 1. But the other 8 was my wife then. So I was like, why, you know, why can't you just, you know, and all that. And, you know, when I got married then as a young guy, I was what you'd describe as a gunslinger. Do you know what a gunslinger is? Texan. Okay, let me explain what a gunslinger is, right? And this born-again guy loves, I mean, I love the Lord and all that. A gunslinger is the person who, the slightest thing, you just, you know, you, yeah, what, you talking to me like that? No, don't talk, you know? So a gunslinger is someone who reacts all the time to any small offense. He's like, man, don't talk to me like that. I should not be spoken to like that because I'm your husband. You should know that I am, you know, that I used to be a gunslinger. Anything I like, tell her, no, don't talk to me like that. You know, I'm not, you know. And one day I just realized that, hang on. And it's as if God just whispered to my ears. Hello, Pastor Benson. What one thing happened to me. I was going, this was in West London. I don't know what happened. I mean, I was so annoyed with my wife then. And I was on the train. I remember that day distinctively. I was on the Central Line in London, going to Ealing Broadway on the train. I remember the detail to this day. And I was so annoyed. And God just whispered in my ears. He said, hello, bro. Why are you annoyed? And I searched. And I said, actually, I don't even know why I'm so annoyed with my wife. And it occurred to me that, look, it is not, yes, the other person can participate in making you, you know, push your hot button. But you and I have the responsibility to deal with it so that God can help us. So fast forward some years later, I think there was once, I don't know if my wife was teasing me then. And I was like, in my study, and she came, there's this thing I used to do, which I could be in my study, right? Because I work from home and I lose track of time. So to me, day becomes, my daughter is smiling, day becomes night and night becomes day. And she had told me that, hang on, why don't you finish work like everybody does? So that I'm not like, she was working from home as well. So it's not like I'm the only one in this house when, you know, these kids are going, okay. So one, I think she had it. So she just came into my study. I don't know if she like closed my computer and all that and said, what do you mean? You know, I've told you that you should, you know. And I just looked at her. By this time, the gunslinging abilities had calmed down. God had it. I just looked at her. And I smiled. Then she said, why are you looking at me like that? Then she smiled as well and said, okay. That's because I took responsibility for my abrupt responses. I didn't say like Eve, I'm like Adam, it's that woman that makes me annoyed. So the first thing I'm saying here this morning is this. God wants us to take responsibility for our flaws, and marriage will expose those flaws to you. So you have a choice as a husband or a wife to take responsibility and let God help you with those things, or you keep blaming the other person for pushing your hot button. So that's the first thing. Now, the second thing I want to mention here is this. I think I have like five things. Do you know that disagreements in marriage is fine? I was like, Pastor Benson, what are you talking? Isn't that obvious? What I mean by that is this. What I found is this. When it comes to husbands and wives sometimes, and they have like a disagreement, they don't agree about something and they have like an argument, sometimes they can make it seem like it's the end of the world. What? You disagreed with me? And it just becomes something else. You don't you value my opinion? And it just blows out of proportion. Why? Because often we do not realize, or we're not conscious of the fact that disagreements are They're good. They're not bad. Let me give you an example. I was telling someone, who here has siblings? Like, you have like brothers and sisters that you grew up with, or cousins and all that. When you were growing up, and all the moms would be, if anybody, there's some moms here, right? So if anybody gives me false information, your mom will confirm for me. So, look straight. So, when you were growing up, I don't know about you guys, but when I was growing up, I mean, I had loads of sisters, brothers, and it was as if every 2 days we fought. This was like when I was like 5, 6, 7, even as a teenager. I'll never talk to you. What kind of sister are you? So inconsiderate. So, I don't know, like, we'll fight. And our parents were like, why are you arguing? I was like, I'll never talk to you again. Don't touch my toys ever again. If you touch my toys, then that's the end. They'll know that. La, 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 la. Then, 1 month later, hey, let's go and play football together. You know, my brothers and my sisters. We've forgotten about the whole episode. But the way you guys are looking at me, you're saints. You've never had arguments with your siblings growing up. It was perfect. You guys were just like, you know, you never said had any arguments with your brothers and sisters growing up, even when they ate all the food and they took your drink that was in the refrigerator and they didn't leave it for you and all that. You just said, oh, that's okay, brother. That's okay, sister. Never happened to you before. It's just me. So what I'm saying is that, can you even remember the arguments you had with your siblings now? You probably can't. Do you understand? But you didn't tell them, get out of my house. I don't want to be your, even if you said, I don't want to be your brother or sister, that was just like, man, you didn't do that when you were. So what I'm saying here is this. The second point is that, coming into marriage, we need to realize or remind ourselves that disagreements, it's okay to disagree. It's not a big deal. However, how we disagree and deal with disagreements is what really counts. And again, these are things that we need to learn to do. So you're not going to go into marriage knowing everything. God expects that it's a new journey of your life and you're going to grow in it. You're going to change. Do you understand? So disagreements are fine, but the challenge is, how do you deal with your disagreements? God wants us to grow in that area as well. And Proverbs chapter 15 verse 1, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So God is saying here that, look, there's some new skills that you have to learn as a husband and as a wife that you might not have. Or if you have it, you have it in varying doses. Allow yourself to learn. You know? Allow yourself to learn. And one of the things here is how we respond to one another. How we respond. So it might be that growing up, and you know, we need to extend grace to one another. What I mean by that is, we need to give each other within marriage some rope. Did I say some rope? Well, some grace. Now, why am I saying this? Imagine that you get married at the age of, I don't know, 24, 25. The person that you're getting married to, or that you get married to, has grown up in a different environment from you. They have handled things differently from you. So you guys need to, yeah, that's one of our choir people. All right, sister. Or is it brother that's there? Anyway, so the second point I'm making is this. It's not the challenge, the disagreements, but us growing in our ability to deal with disagreements the way the Bible says. So you get married to someone at 25, 26, or 30. They've grown up differently from you. Maybe growing up, the environment that they were in was quite a tough one, and they had to respond aggressively to stand their ground. So maybe as a woman or as a girl, she grew up somewhere that, you know, people were always trying to, like, you know, harass her, and you were like, no, you know, any response, hey, don't talk to me like that. And that's how she grew up, to stand her ground. And maybe you as a guy, you're so cool. You know what I mean? Cool like Pastor Benson. Actually, I'm not that cool. You know, like, when you woke up, growing up, you know, you grew up in, I don't know, give me a cool, calm place. I don't know, maybe Iceland. You rolled out of bed, your breakfast was there. Your mommy said, hello, this is your breakfast. Are you going to have ham, cheese, and toast, darling, this morning? I'm like, oh, mom, no. I think I'm going to have a cheese and bacon today. And your mom brings it. And that's how you grew up as a guy. Then you now meet this amazing wife of yours. And you guys now get married. And the guy's like, oh, his memory is natural to him, like, oh, man, dear, I wish I could get, like, some toast and stuff. Would you get it for me, honey? And she goes, what's wrong with you? Don't you have legs? Don't you have legs? Why don't you just go to the kitchen and get it yourself? I'm tired. And the guy goes, hang on. What did you just say there? I said, I'm tired. Why don't you just, you know, go to the kitchen and make yourself some breakfast? And while you're at it, can you make me one as well? And please don't burn my toast. I don't like the way you do toast. Make sure mine's like medium rare. And the guy goes, I'm not going to talk to you. Pastor, my wife is rude. My wife is, this is not the woman I married. The woman I thought I married. Relax. There's nothing wrong with the woman you married, my friend. Relax. In that scenario, what has happened is this. You're used to a particular way of living, and she's used to another way of living. So what you guys do, relax and say, okay, there's a disagreement here. How do we sort it out? So the Bible says, look, a gentle answer turns away wrath. So God's saying that even in that situation where you're annoyed as a man or a woman, it's okay to be annoyed. It is okay to be annoyed. Why? Because you have an expectation. So God isn't saying, clamp down your anger. No, you're annoyed, you're annoyed. Don't pretend. You're annoyed. There's no need to pretend. You can get angry. So God doesn't say, just say, all right, dear, I'm not annoyed. And you're boiling inside. It's fine to be annoyed. But what God is saying here is, this is disagreement. You guys need to address each other gently and say, dear, you know, I would really like it if you could do my breakfast this way. And she'd be like, well, I'm tired. I know you're tired, but, you know, this is what I like. And you guys have a discussion. You know what I mean? So the second point is that disagreements in marriage they're okay. It is okay to disagree. It is okay to be annoyed at your spouse's nuances. But what the Bible says is this. You and I and everyone has to learn to deal with these things in a very calm way. Do you understand? So that's the second thing. I have some other scriptures here. You can note it. Or when you listen to the recording, there's Ephesians 5:12 that says we should submit to one another. Romans 12:10, it says we should be kindly affectioned one to another. So it says in disagreement we should be, you know, we should take it easy, extend some, you know, some grace to one another. All right, so that's the second point. Now, I have a couple of more points. So this third one is talking to husbands. It says, I'll put it my own way. Husbands, the Bible says husbands love your wife. So what I want to say, I'll talk about wives in the fourth one. It says husbands love your wife. What that means is this: as a man coming into marriage, that man needs to learn, and I'm going to use the word learn a lot, learn to love his wife the way the Bible says. And this kind of love is action love. It's not just like an emotional love when you're wife, you know, does something nice and like, oh dear, I love you. No, that's good. But it's talking about another kind of love here that men need to learn. And the thing is this, when it comes to men and women, we are totally different. So anybody that says men and women are the same, that person doesn't know what they're saying. We are totally different emotionally. Now, why am I saying that? And why is the Bible saying we should learn, well, saying we should love our wives, I'll come to the wives in a minute, is because as a man, you might be giving your wife what you think she needs based on your own interpretation. And what you're giving your wife, she doesn't need it. So, I remember, I think I've given this example before. I'm an action guy. You know what I mean? So I remember a while ago, I'd be all over the place and I would buy loads of things for my wife. You know, I'd go here, buy this for her. And one day she sat me down and said, look, Pastor Benson, I really appreciate all you do, all those things that you buy, making sure that, you know, and you work so hard, so on and so forth. However, do you know what I would like? I'm like, all ears. Tell me, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to, I was like, ready. And she said, I just want you to sit down with me and talk. I was like, is that it? Yeah, she said, that's it. So in my mind, I thought she needed me to do stuff. I thought all she needed was me for me to buy this, do that, and all that. So I was giving her what I thought she needed. But really, that wasn't what she needed. What she wanted was something different. So when the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, it tells us that, look, there was a chap that I was speaking to a while ago, and he said, man, for a husband, you need the spiritual gift of word of knowledge and word of wisdom for your wife, because it's like, man, I never know what they think, and they expect me to know. You should know. Like, really? Yeah, you should know that. I don't know. I'm a man. I don't deal in details. So, the Bible says husbands should love their wives, and it's something that we need to learn. So, what does love mean here, apart from giving our wives what they actually need from us as women? I'll look at what love talks about here from the man's perspective. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. It says, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So as a husband, this is the kind of love you need to extend to your wife. And I, yes, that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. You guys are making me laugh. And the thing is this, right? And I don't want to sound a bit funny here. Women are different from men, from a hormonal perspective. So as a man, there are times that your wife might be on the edge. What I mean by that is, She might just be tired. Maybe it's that time of the month and their hormones are like really, because women have a lot of hormones that do a lot of things. And she's just, you know, on the edge. As a man, at that point, as a husband, you need to give her what the Bible says here, patience. She might even snap. I'm tired. Okay, my dear. Hormones are working. Oh, I remember there was one pastor in this pastor friend. Well, it was a senior pastor. And he said that one morning, he was going to work. His wife went to work. See you later, dear. Kissed his wife. She kissed him back. And she went out to work. Then this guy got a call from his senior pastor that your wife is at my house. What did you do to her? And the man said, I just saw her like an hour ago and I didn't do anything to her. He said, okay, come to my house. So he goes to his senior pastor's house, with his wife is there as well. And she's like, this man, he's selfish. He never does anything. And the guy was in shock. He was like, but I just saw you like this morning. And he couldn't really understand what was happening here. And his wife spoke at length. This man, blah, 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 blah. And the senior pastor was just looking. You know, after a while, do you know what the senior pastor did, right? He said, I wasn't there, but this is the narration. He told the guy's wife, don't worry, you know, things will be fine. And he now tells the pastor guy, just come to the other room. And he goes there. And he tells the guy that, he says, look, all that your wife has said now, do you know what she wants from you? They're like, what, pastor? What she's saying is that you haven't been spending much time with her and you need to do that. Then I walk back into the room and she's annoyed. And the guy just says, dear, I'm really so sorry. I've just neglected spending time with you. And, you know, the time that you're tired, I haven't been really giving you the attention you need and all that. And the woman lit up. And the man went home, you know, they drove home, and he was not like, you mean this woman, my wife, who said that I don't love her, I've never loved her, in fact, my love for her is fake, I've just been pretending for this 10 years of marriage. When she was saying all those things so passionately, what she actually meant was, dear, you need to spend more time with me. So, as an unexperienced husband, you could have taken that and said, this marriage is over. It is over. Meanwhile, that marriage is not over. Your wife was just expressing herself very colorfully. Colorfully. You know what I mean? So, when the Bible says, men, love your wives, extend patience and all, that's it. That's it. It says we should deal with our wives according to understanding. That means you need to study your wife. You know, we'll talk about communication and all that another time. So, the Bible says as a husband, you need to really relax and give your wife love in action. All right? Okay, I'll take a couple of more points then we'll pray. Wives, fourth one, says, wives, honor your husbands and respect them. And if you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, it says, however, each of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. I'm going to make a point here to women. You know, growing up, I grew up with loads of sisters, loads of cousins, and all that. And You know, the Bible didn't say that women, wives should love their husbands, because I believe that women will naturally love. But it says women should respect their husbands. Now, I don't want to go from the heavy side. So what this means, again, the same way men have to learn to love their wives and to understand that, look, this is how you behave because women are different. The same way women need to understand that men are different and learn to honor and respect their husbands. And again, I pay attention a lot. Well, I've had to. So for a woman growing up, I mean, I have like loads of cousins that are female. I have like loads of sisters. And the way women talk sometimes, this is just what I notice, is different. So a woman can just, growing up, talking to another woman, oh, you're so silly. I don't like the way you did that thing. Oh man, please, I don't have time now. I don't want to talk. Just look, just go away. And that's how women talk, some women. And it's natural. It's like, can you get that thing for me, please? Another woman. No, man, I don't have time. Look, just sort yourself out. I'm not. And that's how a lot of women grow up. Very banterish, you know, and that's fine. However, you know, when you get married, you cannot talk to your husband that way as you would talk to your sister. Obviously, you guys can joke and all that, but there is something about men, and it's just the way men have been made. Men, even if you don't love a man, he doesn't care too much. But respect, that's just how men are. Do you understand? Now, wife comes to the husband and maybe they've got guests, for example. You know, the husband's there, they've got guests, and he's like, dear, can you please get a glass of water for my boss? He's just come to visit us with his wife. And his wife, she's tired and all that. She says, oh dear, I haven't got time for that. Look, sort yourself out. And she leaves. From her perspective, it's like, what's the big deal there? I've just said, look, I'm tired, sort yourself out. But for the man, it's like, man, in front of my boss, you've just made me look like a wimp. What? You made me look like a wimp. And maybe that's a bit extreme, right? But there is just something with men. You know, nowadays, you know that, and I'll talk about this next time. You know, there's this thing where they're saying men and women are the same. In marriage, there should, you know, nobody should be like the leader in the marriage, wife and husband and all that. Now, don't get me wrong. Before God, we're equal. Husbands and wives, Bible says we should submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. However, don't ever mistake the fact that a man is going to be like a woman. We're not. We're different. We're men. We are men. And men are men. Women are women are women. So if you see any husband, right, that is pretending, and I hope I'll be able to explain this. Let me set this straight, right? I'll talk about that in 2 weeks. There's something called roles and responsibilities, right? I won't finish today. Let me leave that pun. So basically, what I'm just saying is this. Men are wired differently from women. So a woman might be like, I love my husband. Why is this? What's the stress? I mean, why are you so touchy? I just said, look, in front of your boss that, you know, sort yourself out. What's the big deal about that? Now, as a woman, that might not be a big deal to you, but to the man, it's a big deal. So the same way we said that men need to understand how to love their wives, women need to also learn that, look, even though I don't understand why this guy is so touchy about this thing, let me learn to do it anyway. Do you understand? I can go on about that, but I won't because of the time. So, one more point and we'll pray. So today I've looked at how God wants us to have a good marriage. The first thing I mentioned is that marriage will expose your flaws and you can embrace change by asking God to help you instead of blaming the other person. I've said disagreements are normal, but it's how we deal with them. I've said husbands need to learn to love their wives in the way they need to be loved. And the fourth one, wives need to just honor and respect their husbands. The last and final point that I'm going to make this evening or this morning, and we'll pray, is this. Your marriage as a believer is bigger than you. What I mean by that is this. God has an interest in your marriage as a believer. God doesn't want our marriages to just be casualties so that people can say, oh, there's another marriage that has gone down the drain. God wants our marriages to be examples. I'm not saying perfect, but examples to give people hope. So that even if marriages are going down the drain everywhere, God wants us to be in a position where even though our marriages might not be perfect, but that we're applying these principles and we are enjoying our marriages. Do you understand? So God has a big interest in our marriages. He wants us to find joy in our marriages as well. The devil also is interested in your marriage. Heavily interested. So I'm going to stop there this morning and we're just going to pray. So all those things that I've spoken about, I believe that they're things that we know. But just bringing a reminder to us that, look, marriage can be fun. It doesn't have to be such a... Do you get what I mean? But we have a responsibility to play our part. And as we play our part using these simple principles, I can tell you, marriage will become more enjoyable and more, just more enjoyable. Amen. So, I'm just going to ask that we rise up and we just pray. So, this morning, I just want us to pray two prayers. And they're private prayers too. Well, the first one. You might not be married here. And like, man, this just doesn't apply to me at all. It doesn't matter, but at least you can advise people about these things and help people as well. So it might not be directly related to you. But what I want us to pray about is this, that God should help us to accept our flaws and bring our flaws to Him. So that we'll stop making excuses for ourselves, saying, oh, I'm just, that person annoyed me. No. Yeah, they annoyed you. Let them take responsibility for their own actions. But this morning, we want to pray and say, God, help me to take responsibility for my actions and help me to change. So let's just pray that God will help us. Father, we just thank you for the things that we have heard this morning about marriage. Father, the first thing I'm asking that you will help us with this morning is that help us to take responsibility for our own actions so that we can play our own part in marriage. Father, I'm asking that you will help us. Help us. Help us, Father. Then the second thing I want us to pray about is I want us to pray for marriages. Marriages in this church. Marriages of the people who we know, that God will help every marriage. Marriage is tough. But apart from that, the devil is also interested in marriage and he inspires all sorts of things. This morning, we want to pray and say, Father, help every marriage. Help my own marriage. Strengthen my marriage. strengthen the marriage of my cousins, the people that are connected to me, that they as well will find fulfillment in marriage. Father, let's just pray. Let's lift up every marriage before the Lord this morning. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for every marriage. Lord, that every marriage that is experiencing any kind of turmoil, bring peace. Father, bring joy. Father, you have said that it is not good for us to be alone. You gave us helpmeet to bring comfort. Father, bring comfort to every marriage, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, and every manipulation of the devil, every inspiration of the devil in any marriage at this time, Father, we cut it out. Father, we thank you. Our Father and our King, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that we'll not just be hearers of these words, but that everything that we have heard today, and even the things that we will hear going forward, help us to be able to take them to heart and apply them in our marriages. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.